Well, it's good to see everyone, and appreciated the opening prayer. Well, brethren, we know it's not easy to obey God. We know that we struggle with the evil forces, that we are in a spiritual battle for our lives. God shows us that we struggle to obey him. In James 4:8, we're told, draw near to God. James is telling the congregation, draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Seek God. Have a relationship with him. Make sure we have the right desire and attitude to put him first, and he will draw near to us. James says, cleanse your hands, you sinners. So he's saying to the church, cleanse your hands. Stop pointing the finger. Purify your minds. Stop being double-minded. Don't be a hypocrite. Don't be a pretender. We can't overcome our sins on our own. God gives us tools. United Church of God talks about the big four: Bible study, meditation, prayer, and fasting. I think we do the three very well, and some of us might do the fourth as well, but it's a struggle to fast. Today, I want to talk about spiritual healing through fasting. The title is Spiritual Healing Through Fasting. Now, Mr. Fenwick printed 20 copies that are on the bulletin board. If I have health problems, should I fast? Okay, some of us are older, some of us have health problems. So please pick up that copy, and if we run out, send me an email, I'll send you the link. Fasting is required for 24 hours, no food, no water, from sunset to sunset. Any other fast can be set at a time that works for you as you afflict your soul. It doesn't say you have to fast whenever you fast, other than the Day of Atonement, for 24 hours. You may want to fast longer. Sometimes it's shorter. But you need to afflict your soul. Afflict the mind. Understand God's will. And we do that without food and water, to understand that we need God. Without food and water, we would die. So you could do a food fast, you can do a water fast, but please read that. If I have health issues, should I fast? It's an article from the United Church of God. We should hunger for spiritual growth, as we talked about last week. And the question for us is, do we desire to put God's ways into practice? Or is it something that we just sort of linger with? God says it's the doers that get his attention. Again, our nature is weak, but the human spirit is willing to do it, but we're weak. And God desires that we break the chains of addiction, those sins that plague us from moving forward. So today, let's look at how fasting can draw us closer to God. If you want to turn over to Isaiah 58 and stay there, I will refer to some other scriptures. Isaiah 58, I would like to read verses 6 through 11, and then I'll come back. Isaiah 58. We'll start in verse 6. He says, is this not the fast that I have chosen? So God is saying, I am telling you how to fast. All right? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens. So in other words, Satan pressing on us because we have not repented of our sins. To let the oppressed go free. Quit focusing on those who sin against us. or those that we put in judgment. And that you break every yoke, that sin that weighs us down, that we are still practicing. Is it not to share your bread with the hungry? Instead of being selfish, share, God says. And that you bring to your house the poor who are cast out? When you see the naked, that you cover him or her, and not hide yourself from your own flesh, that your light may break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer. You shall cry, and he will say, "Here I am." He will hear our prayers. If you take away the yoke from the midst, the pointing of the finger and speaking wickedness, if you extend your soul to the hungry and satisfy the afflicted soul. We've been afflicted through fasting, and we put God's ways into practice. Then your light shall dawn in the darkness, and your darkness shall be as the noonday. The Lord will guide you continually and satisfy your soul in drought and strengthen your bones. You shall be like a watered garden and like a spring of water whose waters do not fail. When we humble ourselves, when we say, "I am nothing," we get rid of the attitude that we know it all and truly submit to God through fasting, because prayer alone just doesn't always cut it. There are times where we really struggle. God will take notice, and he will respond if we're serious. Verse 9 says, "Then you shall call, and the Lord will answer." What is he going to answer? Your desire to overcome selfishness and to put on righteousness. "You shall cry out for help, and he will hear." He will say, "Here I am." We can ask ourselves, do we see the need for spiritual growth in our lives? What are we struggling with? How often do we point the finger and accuse others and saying, "You're the problem"? How many times? How often do we never take the blame, but only justify maybe the things that we do? Or even take the blame and we're not even the one who caused the situation, but we're there to create peace. In all our situations, we know if we're going against God's law. So the best thing for us is to diagnose the problem, that there is a problem. Then take action, right? That's our calling. If we understand this and we know this through God's Holy Spirit, Jesus Christ is not going to be sacrificed a second time. We should ask God to help us. Are we serious? Fasting shows God that we are serious, that we're willing to humble ourselves, to overcome the pride, to see that spiritual root that is hard to get rid of. We see that we need help and that we're serious, that we want to become like God. We should seek God as our healer, admit that there's a problem, and humbly be willing to submit to God and ask for help. Fasting helps us grow closer to God. Through humility and submission to God, we seek God's will to be fulfilled in our lives through prayer and fasting, as well as meditation and Bible study, as well as putting God's ways into action. There's a number of things. But if we're serious about this, if we're truly serious about wanting to grow closer to God, God will take away those spiritual blinders that Satan will do everything he can to help us to be blind. And God will impart an understanding of his laws, and he will show us that there is a need to repent. I think we see that we need to repent when we sin, but it's not easy to do that. We struggle with it, and sometimes we procrastinate, and we decide, And then we decide and we keep thinking, and then we sometimes just let it go. We don't do it. We don't deal with the problem. Sometimes we get into situations and arguments, and it's like, oh, it's easier to turn my back on it just to not do anything. But God wants us to have a relationship with Him. And if we're not going to repent, make changes in our life, He says, I can't help. If we're not willing to make changes in our life with repairing those relationships, God says, I can't help. It's vital that we have a relationship with God and one another. Jesus Christ says in Matthew 13, 15, keep your finger here in Isaiah 58. Jesus said, lest they should understand with their hearts, with their minds, and turn, that I should heal them. Unless we understand with the mindset that God has given us through His Holy Spirit, and see that we need to turn from doing evil and putting on righteousness. If we don't do that, we can't be healed. We have to address the issue. Also, the Apostle Paul explains the complete spiritual healing process regarding the transformation from the old man, our old ways, and becoming a new person. He says, he exhorts us, do not be conformed to this world. The world is not being led by God. Those of the world are being led by Satan, the devil. And we are to come out of that. That's who we were. And we need to move forward. But be transformed by the renewing of your mind, a new mindset. Don't stay with our old ways in the past of holding grudges. Didn't have a relationship with God. That's Romans 12, 2. And then also in Ephesians 4, 22 through 24, Paul describes how this process of transformation works. We must, he says, put off concerning your former conduct. Get rid of it. We made a commitment at baptism. To get rid of it. We made a commitment at baptism to walk in newness of life. If we're struggling with that, we cannot neglect fasting. We must put off concerning our former conduct, the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in righteousness and in true holiness. We're told in Scripture what we need to be doing. But we also, part of fasting, I'm hitting this spiritual aspect in this sermonette, we need to have preventive spiritual health care as well. All right? We want to draw close to God. Maybe we say, oh, I want to make sure I'm right with you, Father. And we fast as well. I know my daughter, Courtney, here worked with a health company, and she was given a list of names to call them to help them before they got sick. These are some preventive things that we can do. To prevent on getting sick, we can prevent on becoming deceived. Stay close to God. Jesus Christ, who had the fullness of the Holy Spirit, fasted 40 days and 40 nights. Never sinned. But he did this in preparation for not being tempted by the devil. He fasted. God in the flesh fasted so he would not be tempted. He drew close to God. Do you think that we can go on and not fast? Jesus Christ set the example. We cannot survive Satan's fiery darts, all these things that he shoots at us, to disobey God. He's the prince of the power of the air. In one instance, when Christ's disciples could not cast out a demon, because they were casting out demons, they were given that gift, but there was a time they couldn't do it. And he told them, well, that this kind does not go out except by prayer and fasting. Some of those things are difficult to overcome. These strongholds, sin can have a stronghold on us. And we cannot neglect fasting. We need to humble ourselves and submit to God. So in conclusion, proper fasting will result in spiritual breakthroughs. Just ask anyone if you don't believe that. And we should believe it if we have God's Holy Spirit. And we should be able to overcome our weaknesses, even our deep-rooted weaknesses that we keep struggling with. So have a right mindset. Be a doer. Don't be a hypocrite, saying that you are of God and you're not when you're not making changes. You should look back in your life and see that you are making changes. Understand that we desperately need God's help to help us to overcome. This is for all of us, myself included. To grow spiritually, we must ensure that nothing has cut us off from our God. Because if we are cut off from our God, He's not going to answer our prayers. He's not even probably going to hear them. David said in Psalms, and it's also recorded in Romans, that no one is righteous. No one. We need God's help. So we need to repent of our sins. We need to reconcile with God by doing His will. We need to reconcile with each other. That should be our priority. And if that's the priority, we go before God and ask for guidance and direction. We're putting this into our lives. Then the blood of Jesus Christ will cleanse us from our sins. If we're still practicing sin, we're not addressing it and making those changes in our lives, we're just fooling ourselves. We'll have those shackles of sin, those bands of wickedness still around us, having that sin weighing us down, never taken off. We just, this weight upon us. So Isaiah 58 verse 8, God promises that if we call upon Him through fasting, He says, and we're doing it for the right reason, He says, then your light shall break forth like the morning. Your healing shall spring forth speedily, and your righteousness shall go before you. The glory of the Lord shall be your rear guard. We're protected. We're protected. We're watched over. Doesn't mean we're not going to go through trials and persecution, but God is there for us. And if He's for us, who can be against us? So understand that God is our provider. Put Him to the test. He says He will answer. He'll help us overcome. We should desire to become like Him at all costs. That's what we committed to at baptism. And never forget that fasting is a tool that we're able to use, that we must not take for granted if we want to grow spiritually and we want to become more like God. So I hope today you're able to look at fasting a little bit different, a little bit differently if you haven't seen it from this perspective. If you're struggling with sin, use fasting as a tool to help you to become more like God. God the Father and Jesus Christ are there for us to help us to become more like them. So let's not neglect the tool of fasting to grow spiritually.